Okay, bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala ali wa man wala wa ba'd. This is our 52nd session, Arabic lessons in fiqh, level 3, al-mustawa thalith, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. I just want to mention that the subject for today is the acts which are mustahab, commendable for the fasting person. And in our textbook, the level 3 fiqh book, it is on pages 71 and 72. As far as the secondary references, I don't know how much we're going to be able to cover from them, but if you want to go back and look, you'll find in Bulugh Maram with the ta'aliqat of Sheikh Safiur Rahman on page 194, there's some discussion there. Al-Wajiz fi fiqh al-sunnah wal-kitab al-aziz, pages 202 and 203. Al-Mulakhas al-Fiqhi by Sheikh Salih Fawzan, pages 261. I don't know, I have 261 repeated twice. Ikhtiyarat al-Albani, page 227. Yani question number 16 and page 230, number 23. I don't know if we'll go to the 23, but in at least 16 is directly related to our topic today, and 23 there's also some benefit there, if anybody has the time to go back and look at it. And finally, Fiqh al-Ibadat by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, pages 268 and 269. These are the references that I'm referring you to read on your own as much as you can, because we may not be able to cover them in the class, so I'm just giving you the reference. I sent it in the homework assignment so that you know, yani, where we are trying to read from. And I encourage you, yani, to go back and look at the secondary references for more than one reason. One, because we're studying Arabic and we want to try to read as much as possible. And two, because each one of these secondary references has some information that the other ones don't have. So if we just read our textbook here, our information is going to be good, but yani, there's a lot of other benefits in other sources, and that's why we're using secondary references. So we can see what the different scholars, especially the scholars that are well known of the past and the present, what they have mentioned concerning these particular issues. The issue that we're going to talk about today is a well known issue, and most of us know about it. We're familiar with it, and we just finished fasting Ramadan not that long ago. So these are things that yani, are fresh in our mind. In any case, still we might find some points of benefit. Whether it's yani, some fine points, or whether it's some references, some hadith, or discussion concerning some hadith which are not authentic, and so on, whatever it might be, inshallah, hopefully there's some benefit here. I'm going to try to read together the notes from the textbook, Arabic Lessons in Fiqh Level 3, and yani, some of the commentary in Al-Wajiz. I'm going to try to read some of it together for the sake of time. Some of the points are overlapping, most of the points are overlapping. So let me just say that in our textbook, on page 71 and 72, the things that are commendable for the fasting person that are mentioned here are 10 things mentioned. In Al-Wajiz, there are only 6 things mentioned. But one of them is mentioned here as 2 separate items. So really, yani, those 6 would become 7 if we separate them. And then there are 3 other matters that are mentioned here in the textbook that are not mentioned in Al-Wajiz. So I'm going to also point those things out as we go through it. And then I'm going to see if there's some yani, comparison between some of the things or differences that are mentioned in the 2 sources. So I'm going to go back and forth a little bit between our textbook, Level 3 Fiqh, and Al-Wajiz, Fiqh al-Sunnah, Kitab al-Aziz. Okay, on page 71, top of the page, it says, مَا يَسْتَحِبُّ لِلصَّائِمِينَ, that which is commendable, beloved, praiseworthy for the fasting person. Things that are mustahab for the fasting person. These are things that everybody who's fasting, especially in Ramadan, but not only limited to Ramadan, some of these things might be peculiar, particular to Ramadan, but most of them are general for fasting. And these are the things that it is commendable for a person to be doing. The first thing, as-suhoor. Number one, as-suhoor. Yani as-suhoor means? Okay, we can say that. As-suhoor means the food that you take before dawn if you're intending to fast, with fatha. As-suhoor with dhamma means the act of taking this food. Okay, in the same way that at tuhur means the process of cleaning oneself, and tahur means the water that's used for cleaning. Al-wadu is the water that's used for washing for ablution, and wudu is the act of performing ablution. So same thing here, sahur and suhur have this kind of meaning. Suhur with dhamma is the process of taking something to eat before fasting. Sahur with fatha is the food that you take. As-suhur, yani, is from the things that are mustahab for the fasting person, taking some food before the break of dawn to help you get through the day of fasting. Lima warada an Anas radiyallahu anhu and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, tasahharu fa inna fis-suhuri barakatan. Rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslimun. Yani, the proof that this is a commendable act is that the Prophet, Anas ibn Malik, narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tasahharu. Yani, that's a command. Take something for suhoor. فَإِنَّ فِي السُّهُورِ بَرَكَةً. For indeed, in this taking of something to eat before the beginning of the fast is barakah. What do we mean by barakah? Yani, we mean that there's khair in it. There's a lot of good in it. Meaning that in following the sunnah, there's barakah. And in taking some food before you begin your fast, is some ease to your fasting as well. Naam. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Okay, I'm going to go to the second point and then I'm going to go to Al-Wajiz. The second point, ta'akhir as-suhur. Okay, the second point that is commendable is to delay the taking of your suhoor, to delay it until what? Until the last minutes before the break of dawn. Not to take it 1 hour before dawn or half an hour before dawn, but when it's close to the dawn. Ta'akhir as-suhoor. Now,
So now, for example, let's say the prayer at Masjid al-Taqwa at 5 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
So the, what time is the best time to, you think, stop eating at this time? Then, I mean, like suhoor, if you want to do the fasting, then.
If you want to fast, what's the best time to take suhoor?
Yes, what's the last moment?
Depends on what time is the fajr, right? Because throughout the year, the time for fajr may be different. Depends on the time for fajr. Like right now, the adhan for fajr is about 4:26, 7, something like that, right? So, we will say then that if the fajr is like 4:27, 4:28, the best time to take it, depending on what you're going to be eating, right, is a few minutes before you eat. 5 minutes before fajr, 2 minutes before fajr, even 1 minute. If you're just taking 3 dates and a glass of water, khalas, you take how long it takes to eat that? Maybe 1 minute. So 1 minute before dawn, that's the best time to take it. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, delay it. Up until it's almost time for dawn, to the extent that the Prophet ﷺ said, even if you waited until the last minute and then the dawn broke, meaning the adhan is called on time and you have the container in your hand, drink or eat what you have in your hand. Don't put it down until you take, yani, what you need from it. That means even to that extent, delay it, even to the extent that perhaps the adhan might be called while you're still eating. No problem. Finish what you have in your hand. I don't say finish the whole layout on the table. If you're eating a full meal, 3-course meal, 5-course meal, I don't mean that. But you have something in your hand. Ta'akhir as-suhur. The book mentions, the proof of this is the hadith of Zayd ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu, qala, tasahharna ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, thumma qumna ila salati. Yani, we were taking suhoor with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then, right after that, thumma qumna, we got up to pray. Qultu, kam kana qadru ma baynahuma. Yani, Zayd ibn Thabit is narrating this. We were taking suhoor with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as soon as we took suhoor, we got up to pray. Then the person who heard the hadith of him said to him, kam kana qadru ma baynahuma. What was the amount of time between the two of these, between the adhan for fajr and your taking of suhoor? What was the amount of time between them? Qala khamsina ayah. The time in which a person will recite 50 ayahs of the Qur'an. Now, of course, depends on what type of ayahs we're talking about, but regular, normal, short ayahs, not real long ayahs, the time it takes to recite 50 ayahs of the Qur'an. Yani, a few minutes. maybe 10 minutes. Something like that. رواه البخاري ومسلم. Of course, it would depend on what size the ayats are, right? Some ayats are very, very small. Some are very, very long. Talking about moderate ayats, maybe 50 ayats. Doesn't take that long, few minutes. 50 ayah. Here, they also mention another hadith. Hadith of Abi Dharr, radiyallahu anhu. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yaqulu, لا تزال أمتي بخير ما أخروا السهور. With fatha here came in the hadith. In the Muslim Imam Ahmed came with fatha. ما أخروا السهور وعجلوا الفطرة. رواه أحمد. And in the second hadith here, the hadith of Abi Dharr, that the Prophet ﷺ كان يقول, used to say to them, لا تزال أمتي بخير, my ummah will remain upon good, ما أخروا السهور, as long as they delay the suhoor. This is also supporting the same meaning, وعجلوا الفطرة, and hasten the breaking of the fast. Delaying the suhoor up until just before the break of dawn, hastening the breaking of the fast immediately at sunset. This hadith has some question about its authenticity. But as far as ta'akhir al-suhoor, it's already proven by the hadith in Bukhari that we already mentioned. But this particular hadith in the Muslim Imam Ahmed, some of the scholars said the isnad of it is daif because of Ibn Luhayya. Yani, he's a narrator, Abdullah ibn Luhayya, who it is said that he had a bad memory. So the hadith from him are generally considered to be weak. In addition to that, there are two narrators, Sulaiman ibn Abi Uthman and Adi ibn Hatim al-Hamsi, both of them are said to be majhul, majhulan. So that means this isnad has three defects in it. One narrator who is weak, yani weak memory, bad memory, say al-hifd, and two narrators who are majhul, yani hadith is weak. Hadith is weak. But there's an authentic hadith that's similar to it, but it doesn't mention yani ta'akhir al-suhoor, it mentions hastening the breaking of the fast. That's in Bukhari. Okay, so distinguish these two hadith. This hadith mentions delaying the suhoor and hastening the breaking of the fast. As far as the hadith that's in Bukhari and Muslim, it only mentions hastening the breaking of the fast. It's a different narration, different hadith. So we don't want to confuse them. These are two different hadith. In any case, the delaying of suhoor is already proven by the hadith of Zayd ibn Thabit. This hadith is an extra hadith. It's considered to be a weak hadith. Now,
actually, hastening the breaking, people like to use it a lot. So there is not another hadith that confirms this one.
There is. There are other hadith. Naam, sure, there are other hadith. From amongst them is the hadith that Shaykh al-Albani mentions in Sahih al-Jami', hadith of Abi Darda. Shaykh al-Albani said that it is sahih. It's reported by al-Tabarani. Thalathun min akhlaq al-nubuwa. Three things from the character of the of prophethood. Ta'ajil al-iftar, hastening to break the fast. Wa ta'akhir al-suhoor, and delaying the suhoor. وَوَضَعُ الْيَمِينَ عَلَى الشِّمَالِ, and putting the right hand over the left. فِي الصَّلَاةِ. This hadith is reported by Tabarani. Shaykh al-Albani mentioned Sahih al-Jami. Sahih al-Jami al-Saghir, he said that. It is Sahih. So this is also a proof about what? About delaying the suhoor. Delaying the suhoor. Okay, now I'm just going to look at al-Wajiz and summarize what they said. On page 202 and 203, they have the things that are mustahab for a person to pay attention to, yani from the adab of fasting. The first thing they mention is suhoor. They mention the same hadith of Anas, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet ordered the people to take suhoor because it contains barakah. They said, commentary on this hadith, page 202 and 203, they mentioned six things between those two pages. The first of them, suhoor. They said, after the hadith of Anas, يَتَحَقَّقُ السُّهُورُ وَلَوْ بِجُرْعَةِ مَاءٍ, and this taking of the suhoor is fulfilled even if a person just took a drink of water. Even if a person just took a drink of water. Maybe you said, I don't really like getting up. I don't want to get up and take suhoor. I can't eat in the morning. At least take a date or three or a drink of water. Yani they said, even just a drink of water fulfills the sunnah of taking suhoor. Based on what? The hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr رضي الله عنهما He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تصحروا ولو بجرعة ماء. Take suhoor, even if you just take a drink of water, a gulp of water, a mouthful of water. This hadith is mentioned in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban. Shaykh al-Albani mentions it, Sahih al-Jami al-Saghir. تصحروا ولو بجرعة ماء. So some people don't like to eat in the morning, at least take a drink of water. They also said, وَيَسْتَحِبُّ تَأَخِيرُ. Yani they mentioned this under suhoor, the second matter that's mentioned in our textbook. They mention what? يَسْتَحِبُّ تَأَخِيرُهُ. That it is mustahab to delay the suhoor. They mention the hadith of Anas from Zayd ibn Thabit. The same hadith, تَسَحَّرْنَا, that we took suhoor with the Prophet ﷺ and then we stood up to pray. It was said to the narrator, كَمْ كَانَ بَيْنَ الْأَذَانِ وَالسُّهُورِ. Look in this narration. Yani, look at the difference. In the previous narration, it said, كَمْ كَانَ قَدْرُ. Yani, بَيْنَهُمَا. The time between them, بَيْنَهُمَا. In this narration, كَمْ كَانَ بَيْنَ الْأَذَانِ وَالسُّهُورِ. It's clear that huma means the adhan and the suhoor. قَالَ قَدْرُ خَمْسِينَ آيَةٍ. Yani, the time in which you can recite 50 ayahs reported by Al-Bukhari, Muslim, Al-Tirmidhi, and Nasai, and Ibn Majah. Commentary on this point and this hadith in Wajiz, they said, وَإِذَا سَمِيَ الْأَذَانِ. And this is an important commentary. إِذَا سَمِيَ الْأَذَانِ وَطَعَامُهُ أَوْ شَرَابُهُ فِي يَدِهِ فَلَهُ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ أَوْ يَشْرَبَ. Yani, if the person has the adhan and their food or their drink is in their hand, فَلَهُ أَنْ يَأْكُلْ. From Al-Wajiz. فَلَهُ أَنْ يَأْكُلْ. Then he has the right to eat or to drink. Based on the hadith of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This hadith يعني is reported by Al-Hakim and Abu Dawood, and Shaykh Al-Albani mentions it in Sahih Al-Jami'ah, where he says that it is Sahih. Which hadith? Hadith of Abu Hurairah that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِذَا سَمِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ النِّدَاءَ. النِّدَاءَ means the adhan. نعم. Call, meaning the adhan. إِذَا سَمِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ النِّدَاءَ وَالْإِنَاءُ عَلَى يَدِهِ. If anybody hears the adhan and his container is in his hand, فَلَا يَضَعَهُ. فَلَا يَضَعَهُ. What kind of la is this?
La
nahiya. The Prophet ﷺ said, do not. He's prohibiting you from putting it down. Do not put it down. حَتَّى يَقْضِيَ حَاجَتَهُ مِنْهُ. He must not put it down until he يَقْضِيَ satisfies his need from that which he has in his hand of food or drink. This hadith again reported by Abu Dawood and Hakim, Shaykh al-Bani said that it is sahih. This is the first point mentioned in Wajiz. It's actually 2 points. The encouragement to take suhoor and the delaying of the suhoor. Now,
I'm amazed because about this point. So there are like many scholars, and I have met across many meetings.
Yeah.
They don't interpret the hadith. Their understanding is not allowed, even if the azan is being called, and that is stopped completely.
How do they understand this hadith?
I don't know. They explain like many.
They explain this hadith.
Yeah, different.
In a different way.
Yeah.
You don't know how they explained it, though.
Yeah, really, I don't know. It was serious that until I have been looking until now, explaining that support this.
In any case, the hadith is crystal clear. It doesn't require explanation. It's clear Arabic language. This is clear Arabic language. The Prophet is saying clearly in this hadith, I don't think that it requires, whoever is explaining it, why are they explaining something that's clear? The Prophet said, literally, clearly, if any one of you, إِذَا سَمِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ النِّدَاءَ, anyone hears the call, وَإِنَاءَ عَلَى يَدِهِ, and he has the container in his hand. What container are you talking about? The container of his food. فَلَا يَضَعَهُ. The Prophet said, do not, I prohibit you from putting it down. حَتَّى يَقْضِيَ حَاجَتُهُ مِنْهُ. Until you satisfy yourself, your need from that which you have in your hand. What explanation does that require? How did anybody explain it in any other way? Unless they explain it in another language to people who don't know Arabic and they are just tricking them.
Actually, the Bukhari hadith that
They refute this hadith?
Yeah, kind of. The hadith that.
Are they saying the hadith is not authentic?
No, they asked. I think they have said that, but the explanation.
I don't know the explanation.
Who narrated this hadith?
You mean the Sahabi?
The Sahabi, yeah.
Abu Huraira. In any case, it is a matter of fiqh, right? So, any scholars may have different view. There are lots of hadith that scholars understand differently. But, any, first of all, this hadith, not only is it crystal clear, but the maqsood in the sharia is also crystal clear. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for you, not difficulty. So what kind of hardship would be the person who got up and it's time for the adhan, they're getting ready to eat, and they have the food in their hand, and the adhan is called and they have to put it down. That's hardship. مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْأُسْرَ يعني يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ يعني the maqsood of the sharia is served in this hadith clearly. That Allah wants ease for the people, not difficulty. That would be a hardship. If anybody ever experienced that, that they woke up right at the time of the adhan, and they were getting ready to eat, and all of a sudden the adhan was called. And they know that's going to be a long 14, 15, 16 hour day in the heat of the summer, July and August, and they didn't get a chance to eat or drink anything. That's difficult. But you know what? Allah said, don't worry about it. Eat what you have in your hand. You're okay. Take your need from it and go on and fast. You're good. Does Allah need that you not eat that and that you just go through the day without having any? Allah doesn't need that. Allah doesn't need that. And besides, I mean, that's sufficient. Come on, we don't need to go into the other matter that the adhan is generally called before the break of dawn in most places. They're following the calendars. Those calendars are not on the time of the adhan for Fajr. They are before the time of the adhan. So even if the person had called the adhan 5 minutes ago, it might not even be Fajr yet. I'm just saying that is a reality that we have here in New York City anyway. I don't know about in other countries, but I know in New York City, most of the people are following the calendars. Those calendars are not accurate as far as the time for the adhan of Fajr. They're way earlier than the time of Fajr. Yeah. Yeah, they're not accurate. They're not accurate. Now, if the food is ready, then eat. Don't go to the prayer. Eat first, satisfy your need, and then go to pray. Okay, let's go to point number 3. We're going back to the textbook, level 3 fiqh. Number 3 is ta'ajil al-futur. Hastening the breaking of the fast. Hastening the breaking of the fast. Li hadith Sahal ibn Sa'ad, radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, la yazalu al-nasu bi khayrin ma'ajjalu al-fitra. Muttafaqun alayh. Yani, the people will remain upon khayr as long as they hasten to breaking of the fast. Hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. This is point number 4. Point number 3. And in the Al-Wajiz, actually it's mentioned on page 203. Yani the hastening of breaking the fast as point number 4. In the textbook is point number 3. And Wajiz is point number 4 in that book. Okay, so it came, yani, on the second page, ta'ajil al-fitr, al-futur. The second point that's connected to in our book, point number 4, an yaftura ala rutabatin fa'in lam yajid fa'ala tamaratin fa'in lam yajid fa'ala al-ma'i, without tanween. Point number 4 is to break your fast with fresh dates. And if the person didn't find any fresh dates, then dry dates. And if they didn't find any dry dates, then they should break their fast with water. This is based on the hadith of Anas, radiallahu anhu, قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفطر قبل أن يصلي على رطبات. The Prophet, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, used to break his fast before he performed the prayer, yani the Maghrib prayer, with fresh dates. Before he would pray, he would break his fast. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ رُطَبَاتٌ فَتُمَيْرَاتٌ. What is tumayrat? Yani tamra. Yani tasgir of tamra. Tumayrat. Then he would use some small dry dates. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ tumayrat حَسَى حَسَوَاتٍ مِنْ مَاءٍ. Yani, if he didn't find any dry dates, Hasa means shariba. He would drink hasawatin, some drinks from water. Hasa ay shariba. Rawahu Abu Dawud wal Hakim wa sahahahu wa Tirmidhi wa hassanahu. Okay, what does this mean? Rawahu Abu Dawud wal Hakim wa sahahahu wa Tirmidhi wa hassanahu. One person tell me, what is the meaning of this? Rawahu Abu Dawud wal Hakim wa sahahahu.
Narrated by Abu Dawud
and Hakim and Hakim said that it was sahih, and narrated also by Tirmidhi, and he said that it is hasan, yani reported by Abu Dawud and Hakim, but Hakim said that it is sahih, and it's also reported by Tirmidhi, who said that it is hasan. And Shaykh al-Albani mentions in the sahih of Tirmidhi that this narration is sahih. Naam. The main difference is usually between Hassan and Sahih is that the narrators in the chain of narration, if their memories are very strong, then the hadith will be considered Sahih. If their memories are not so strong, then the hadith will be considered Hassan. That's generally the difference. The memory, the reliability of the memory of the narrators. And Sahih is stronger and Hassan is less. And he's still acceptable, but it's not as strong. This is point number 3 and point number 4. Hastening the breaking of the fast and breaking the fast with fresh dates or dry dates or a drink of water. If we go to Al-Wajiz, the second point is something else altogether. And the third point is something else altogether that we'll come back to. The fourth point and the fifth point are these two points. Yani hastening to break the fast on page 203, hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'd, the people will remain upon good as long as they hasten to break the fast, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And point number 5, the breaking of the fast with whatever is easy for you, ma tayassara lahu, from that which has been mentioned in this hadith, the hadith of Anas, that the Prophet used to break his fast with fresh dates before praying, and if he didn't find that, or he wasn't able to get that, then dry dates, and if not, then he would take a drink of water. This is points number 4 and 5 in Al-Wajiz. In this hadith?
No, in the hadith.
Yes, you can get fresh dates now. They're very good. And usually in Ramadan, they have fresh dates here. Usually in Ramadan they have them, but even outside sometimes you can get them, yeah. So it's basically the same here as mentioned in our textbook.
Is the one like yellow?
Those are fresh dates, yellow. Sometimes they're yellow, sometimes they're red. Yani, the dry dates are usually packaged differently. Okay, let's go back to our textbook. We read points number 1, 2, and 3, and 4. Yani taking suhoor, delaying the suhoor, hastening the breaking of the fast, and what to break your fast with. Point number 5 in our textbook on page 72 on the top of the page, it says, الدعاء عند الفطرة. Yani supplicating at the time of breaking the fast. It says here, وفي أثناء السيام. Huh? Meaning what?
During the time.
Yani, that these are two matters. Supplication, either at the time of breaking the fast, and or during the fast. And or during the fast. Li hadith Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them. Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha aftara, qala, dhahaba al-dhama'u, wabtallat al-uruku, wa thabat al-ajr. InshaAllah. Akhrajahu Abu Dawud wal Hakim wal Bayhaqiyyu. Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he used to break his fast, or when he used to break his fast, he would say, Dhahaba al-dhama'u. Meaning? The thirst has gone. Yani, he drank some water, so the thirst has gone. Wabtallat al-uruq. And the veins have become moistened. وَبْتَلَّتْ يَعْنِي فَمْبَلَى إِبْتَلَّ يَعْنِي the veins have become moistened. وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ And the reward is confirmed. Huh? Inshallah. Why inshallah? Because Allah may accept or not accept. Yani just because a person didn't eat and drink, that doesn't mean their fast is accepted, right? So inshallah, yani the reward is confirmed, inshallah. If a person has fasted, inshallah their reward is confirmed. If they have fasted sincerely for the sake of Allah in accordance with the Sharia. This hadith reported by Abu Dawud and Al-Hakim and Al-Bayhaqi and Shaykh Al-Albani said in Sunan Abu Dawud that this hadith is Hasan. Naam. No, this is not part of the dua, inshallah. This is part of the hadith. This is part of the hadith. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, "Dhahaba dhamu wa btalat al-uruq wa thabat al-ajr," inshallah, meaning that yani the supplication is the thirst has gone and the veins have become moistened and the reward is confirmed. But inshallah means here, the Prophet ﷺ is not saying, "Oh Allah, give me this inshallah." No. He's saying the reward for you is confirmed inshallah. And it's not like when a person is supplicating, they say, "Oh Allah, help me to get well, inshallah." No. He's not saying, "May Allah give us a reward, inshallah." He's saying, he's making a statement that you will be rewarded. It's not a supplication. He's making a statement. I mean, it's part of the supplication, but it's not asking Allah. It's stating. He's making a statement that you will be rewarded. Inshallah. Because the reward is based on the will of Allah. Yani Allah rewards whoever He wills. Yani based on yani the factors that are considered. Doing it correctly, doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah and so on. So this is not a proof that when you ask Allah for something, you should say, "Oh Allah, give me this if you will." Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah, He doesn't do anything unless what He will anyway. Nobody can force Allah to do something. You don't say, "If you will, yani, do this if you will." He's going to do whatever He wills. This is not applicable here. Okay, so the meaning here is different. The meaning here is not, "Oh Allah, give some reward to these people if you will." No, he's saying, you will get a reward. Inshallah. Inshallah. Because we don't control what Allah will or will not do, who will reward, who will not will. That's the meaning here, okay? This is point number 5, a dua. And in...
Sheikh, but my question is that they say this dua is also during the fast.
No, it doesn't mean this dua is during the fasting. This dua, yani what is said here is dua... Yani it's from the things that are mustahab to supplicate at the time of breaking fasting or while you are fasting. Then they said, yani the Prophet ﷺ, when he used to break his fast, either aftara, when he used to break his fast, he used to say this. This dua is only said at the time of breaking fast. The meaning here is that it is mustahab to say this supplication at the time of breaking fast. It's also mustahab to supplicate while you're fasting. Not with this supplication, but to supplicate while you're fasting. Because in another hadith, the hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi, the Prophet ﷺ said that the person, that the dua of the fasting person will be answered. In some of the writings in the Tirmidhi, in some of the manuscripts of Tirmidhi, it said his supplication will be answered, hina yuftir, at the time when he breaks fast. And some of the manuscripts have a different word. They don't have hina. Yani in Tirmidhi, it's the same hadith. Some of the handwritten manuscripts have hina, and some of them have hatta. Hina and hatta. Hina means at the time of breaking a fast. That's this supplication. Hatta means until you break your fast. Meaning while you are fasting, up until you break your fast, dua is accepted. So that's how some of the scholars said, yani when you break your fast or while you are fasting. But this supplication is for only when you're breaking the fast. Point number six. I just want to read from Al-Wajiz. They have as point number 6. That was for us point number 5. They have as point number 6, supplication at the time of breaking the fast. And at the time, they only have at the time of the breaking the fast, and then they mention this hadith, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. Okay, we're going to go now to point number 6 in our textbook. And this is a point that's not, or is it mentioned? Yeah, it's mentioned, but in a different way. Same kind of topic is mentioned in Al-Wajiz on page 202, point number 2. The second point in Al-Wajiz is yani overlapping with this point number 6. وَإِن سَابَهُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ جَهَلَ عَلَيْهِ أَيَقُولُ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. Yani if a person is verbally abused or somebody acts ignorantly towards you, that he should say, indeed, I'm fasting. Indeed, I'm fasting. And this is based on the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ سَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ وَلَا يَسْخَبْ فَإِنْ سَابَهُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ قَاتَلَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. To the end of the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, yani that Abu Hurairah said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if it is the fasting day of any one of you, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ سَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ, if it is a day in which one of you is fasting, فَلَا يَرْفُثْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ وَلَا يَسْخَبْ, on that day a person should not engage in indecencies, nor should they shout or scream. Yani engage in that kind of behavior. If somebody even abuses you, فَإِنْ سَابَهُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ قَاتَلَهُ, if somebody abuses you verbally or even attacks you physically, فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ, then he must say, I'm fasting. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, the meaning here, why you are repeating it, it is you are reminding yourself that you are fasting to control yourself. And you are also informing the person that don't expect from me that kind of behavior, I'm fasting. And also some of the scholars said that the meaning here is that you might be telling that person that you are fortunate that I'm fasting. Because were I not fasting, it might be a little different response.
Sheikh, even the man of fortune says,
yani, you can defend yourself, no doubt. But you shouldn't, yani, become a party to it. Yani, you shouldn't become a party to it. If somebody attacks you, of course you can defend yourself. But you should still at the same time remind yourself, they're attacking me, but I'm fasting. I'm not going to, yani, go, like, I'm not going to just lose control of myself. I am fasting. Defend yourself, of course. And let the person know that you're fasting, perhaps. It depends on who you're talking to, right? Maybe the person is a Muslim who attacked you. You say this, it might affect them. If they are not a Muslim, it's not going to affect them, right? But at least you're going to remind yourself. In any case, when a person is fasting, you are not going to act the same way when you're not fasting. And if you're fasting, you're not going to act the same way as if you... Really, the fasting person and the non-fasting person are not going to act the same way. Yani, what is applicable to the non-fasting person is more applicable to the fasting person. Meaning the standards are higher and the level, the conduct should be better for the fasting person, even a person who's not fasting. If somebody abuses you, you should let them know. Like, I'm not going to engage in this behavior with you. I'm not going to reciprocate. I'm not going to act the way you act. I'm not going to cuss at you or swear or say filthy things. I'm not going to act like that, even if you're fasting or not fasting. If a person attacks you, defend yourself, no doubt. No doubt, absolutely. Huh? But if somebody comes and he acts in a way aggressively towards you like they want to fight, you should say, I'm fasting. If they physically attack you, of course, and Islam doesn't teach us to just roll over and let them harm you. I'm going to say for sure, if somebody attacks you, you defend yourself. Yani, the meaning here, if a person verbally abuses you, if a person acts aggressively towards you like they want to, yani, the beginning of the hadith said what? Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if it is the fasting day of any one of you, do not use obscenities. Do not shout and scream. If a person abuses you, yani, orally, yani, sabahu ahadun aw qatalahu, yani, or fights him, meaning acts aggressively towards you like they want to fight, then yani, let them know that you are fasting. And try not to engage in that behavior. But if somebody actually physically attacks you, of course, then you're going to defend yourself. But at the same time, being a fasting person, like Imam Ahmad said, even if a person broke into your house and you subdued them, you shouldn't kill them. And once you subdued them, stop. So if you're fasting and a person attacks you, you can subdue them. But then don't keep going with it.
Yeah, I'm asking because it happened to me.
Subdue
them and then call the police and have them arrest him.
You can't subdue yourself.
Huh? Okay. This is point number six. Point number seven is also not mentioned in Al-Wajiz. Let me just go to Al-Wajiz, because they have a point related to this particular affair, right? In Al-Wajiz, they said point number two, the second point in Al-Wajiz on page 202, Al-Kaf an al-Lagu wa-Rafath wa-Nahwahuma mimma yatanafa ma-Sawm. Point number two is restraining oneself, holding back from al-Lagu, vain speech, Ar-Rafathu, yani obscenities, yani bad speech or behavior, and that which is similar to those two things, from that which negates the fasting, yatanafa ma sawm, yani contradicts fasting, all kind of behavior that contradicts fasting, not just screaming and shouting and fighting, but whatever contradicts fasting. And then they mention the hadith of Abu Hurairah, same hadith, if one of you is fasting, don't use obscenities, don't scream and shout. وَلَا يَجْهَلْ, and don't act ignorantly. This came in this, in the wording that they mention here. وَلَا يَجْهَلْ, and don't act ignorantly. فَإِنْ شَاتَمَهُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ قَاتَلَهُ, and if somebody abuses you verbally or acts aggressively like they want to fight you, فَلْيَكُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمْ. This hadith, yani the wording here is a little bit different, but it's also from Bukhari and Muslim. And then they mention another hadith that's not mentioned in the textbook here under this topic. Yani also from Abu Hurairah, from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi, man lam yada'a qawla zu' wal 'amala bihi falaysa lillahi hajatun fi an yada'a ta'amahu wa sharabahu. Whoever doesn't leave off false speech wal 'amala bihi, and acting in accordance with it, and in some of the narrations said wal jahla, acting ignorantly, then Allah has no need of that person giving up their food and their drink. This hadith is more general, and so it broadens the topic a little bit, that every type of behavior, speech and behavior, that is not becoming of a fasting person, that's not in agreement with the character or the yani demeanor of a fasting person, should be abandoned. Because Allah, if you're not going to give up those things, Allah has no need for you to just give up food and drink. That's lawful, that He made lawful for you. Why are you giving up that and you're not giving up the things that are unlawful and unbecoming yani of the Muslim? The hadith is reported by Bukhari. I don't know if it's muttafaq. It's reported by Bukhari and others. Yeah, is it muttafaqun alayh?
Yeah.
Fayyib. Naam. Okay. After this, point number seven is as-siwak. As-siwak is not mentioned in al-wajiz, and yani there's some discussion concerning this hadith. As-siwak li hadith Amir ibn Rabi'a رضي الله عنه قال رأيت رسول الله, should be رسول الله with فتح, obviously مفعول به, right? رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما لا أحصي يتسوك وهو صائم رواه أحمد وأبو داود والترمذي. The meaning of this hadith, Amir ibn Rabi'a radiallahu anhu, he said, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ra'aytu Rasulullah ma la uhsi, yani more times than I can count, more times than one can enumerate, ma la uhsi yatasawwaku wa huwa sa'im, he is brushing his teeth while he is fasting, brushing his teeth while he is fasting. The hadith is reported by Ahmed, Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi. And there's a difference of opinion concerning the authenticity of this hadith. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yani some of the reporters, they said, Isnadu hadha al-athar jayyid kama saraha bihi al-hafiz fi al-talkhis al-habir. Yani it is reported that al-hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, in his book al-talkhis al-habir, he said this hadith is jayyid. The isnad is jayyid, an acceptable narration. So we can accept that. However, there are other scholars. Yani the hadith in Tirmidhi, Sheikh Al-Albani mentions is that this hadith is da'if. So there's some difference of opinion concerning this particular hadith. Now, in reference to the siwak, now. Using siwak while you're fasting or using toothpaste? Well, the siwak, yeah, I mean, it doesn't have a flavor. No, there's no flavor in it. No. But the toothpaste, it may have some other stuff. No. Yeah, there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Probably it's better not to use toothpaste. Right. However, if a person uses toothpaste, then they should be careful not to swallow anything from the substance of it, but they should rinse their mouth thoroughly. I was remember in the masjid of the Jamia Islamiyah, and Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Bay was giving a lecture, and one of the students asked him about using toothpaste, and he said, "Atawakkaf fi hadha." Yani, I don't have any opinion concerning this. Meaning, I don't know if it's permissible or not. I'm not making a ruling. So, yani, some scholars said that if you use it, you have to be very careful to make sure you don't swallow it. Other scholars said you shouldn't use it. It's probably best not to use it. But actually, if a person uses it, it's possible to use it without swallowing anything. There's no harm, inshallah. And it's not really prohibited. And it's just maybe dangerous if a person doesn't rinse their mouth well. Also about siwak, there's some difference of opinion. I just want to... Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I'm just trying to see like where we at and whether or not and what to do. We still have. Yeah, we're gonna take your question and we're gonna come back to that. But I'm just trying to look at how many points we have left here. Yeah, we still have a few points left. 3 points. Okay, so we're gonna stop on this point of siwak, but we'll like entertain the questions and then next session, inshallah, we're gonna do point number 8, 9, and 10. And the other commentaries, inshallah, and the points of benefit from them. But okay, let's take a question. Mentor. About suhoor?
Yeah.
Okay, we're dealing with siwak now.
Well, I still need some clarification in that. Because all the masjid, on the places, they depending on the calendar, the phone.
No.
And that's it says, you know, how we can do now
So we should take precaution, right?
No.
We should take every precaution and, you know, not be negligent of the affair. If we know for a fact that the time on the, yani the pre-written determined times for the salat, if we know that there's some inaccuracies there, then we have to pay attention to that. We shouldn't take the matter lightly. Yani, because perhaps, yani, if they call the adhan for Fajr early, and you stop eating at that time, there's no harm, right? Meaning that you didn't violate anything, except that you were deprived of taking some food maybe that you should have been able to take. That's not so dangerous as what if they are calling the adhan early for Maghrib, and it's not even time for Maghrib yet, and you're praying before Maghrib. Or you're praying before Fajr, because they're calling the adhan too early. Okay, as far as the suhoor, yani, if you stopped eating a little early, there's not a great harm in that. But if you pray too early, prayer is not acceptable. So I'm saying this is a matter that we have to look at. We can't take the matter lightly. A lot of people complained about people who are praying the Isha prayer, yani, 1 hour after Maghrib. And the time when the calendar says it's 1 hour and 20 minutes after Maghrib. But actually praying 1 hour after Maghrib, certain times of the year, in certain regions, in certain seasons, it's well into the time for Isha. Isha is in after 45 minutes or 50 minutes. So there's no harm in that. But if in fact the Isha is not in and they're praying early, then that's a problem. I'm saying all of these matters have to be looked at carefully, and we should, yani, make some attempt. If it's possible, if we're in a place where we actually can monitor the times for the prayers, where a person can go in a high building, for example, and see the horizon clearly, which you can't see it from the ground maybe, but maybe on a high building, yani, we're in the city where there are high buildings. If a person is actually able to see the sunset, then we should do that. We should monitor it and see if the time is accurate or inaccurate. And if it's inaccurate, how far is it off? So that we make sure that we're breaking our fast as early as possible, once the sun has actually set, and not ahead of its time, but not delaying it for 10 or 15 minutes because they're waiting 10 minutes to call the adhan and the sun has already set. So we have to give some time to this. So, anyhow, if we don't have the ability to do that, then we take precaution. Yani, we take the side of caution, meaning that if we stop a little early, that's better than yani eating after we know that it's already break of dawn. If we pray a little bit later, yani, if we break our fast a little bit later, that's better than breaking it early. So we take the side of precaution, yani. Okay, so was there another question, or we can close? About siwak, though. We didn't finish siwak. Is it about siwak?
No, about this.
Okay, okay, we'll come back to siwak next week, inshallah. But I did want to say, though. No, I just want to say first that in case, like, we don't get next week or 2 weeks from now, that the using of the siwak is sunnah, whether it's in the early part of the day or in the later part of the day. Using siwak is sunnah. There are some scholars who say it's okay to use it early part of the day, but not in the later part of the day. And in fact, the Prophet ﷺ didn't make any such stipulation that certain time of day you can use and certain time of day you can't. And there are, yani, there's some discussion concerning this that perhaps we'll make in the next time. But I just want to say that using siwak for the fasting person, some people said, oh, but there's a smell that comes from the mouth of the fasting person is more beloved to Allah than sweet smelling mist. Naam. And it is the Prophet ﷺ who told us that, and it is the Prophet ﷺ who told us to use the siwak. And he used to use it all the time. So I just wanted to make that point about siwak, and then inshallah we'll come back to the whole discussion about it, and the authenticity of the hadith concerning this, and what other narrations are necessary, and what some of the scholars have said about it in the next session. We're going to just take this one question about suhoor, and then we're going to close, inshallah.
First of all, using the siwak while fasting,
it's sunnah. It's sunnah.
Doesn't that invalidate the fast?
No, it doesn't invalidate the fast. It's sunnah to use the miswak at every time of wudu. It's sunnah to use the miswak at every time of prayer. Whether you're fasting or not fasting. The Prophet ﷺ used to do it, and he encouraged the people to do it, and it's mustahab to do it. And Abdullah ibn Umar said that it's mustahab to use the siwak while you're fasting in the early part of the day or in the later part of the day. It doesn't matter. This is the sunnah.
You don't have to spit it out or something.
Yeah, and if there's something in your mouth, you should spit it out. If there's something there to spit out. Yani, if you can. If you can. Even, yani, whatever is in your mouth, that shouldn't be there. Yani, you shouldn't be swallowing
what
stuff.
What it means, like, you may take, like, kind of flavor from the siwak. I think, like, something like
flavor? We're talking about natural siwak that doesn't have any flavor. Yeah, but when you brush your teeth, right, then there's some, yani, some things that you're cleaning from your teeth, right? So you shouldn't be swallowing that. That's something that you're cleaning, you're removing from your teeth. You should spit it out. Maybe there's nothing there because they're using it as a sunnah. Maybe they already clean, their teeth are clean, but they're just using siwak because it's an act of worship. But if actually a person is cleaning their teeth and there's some things that are unclean that are actually being removed by the siwak, you should spit it out. Yani, it's not that it invalidates the fast, I'm not saying that, but it's because it's something that is considered detestable. Yani, it's considered to be something detestable that you shouldn't... Huh? That the, whatever you are cleaning, that the dirt that you are removing from your teeth, you shouldn't swallow it. You should remove it. You should remove it if there's actually something there. But if a person is just brushing their teeth as an act of worship because it's from the sunnah before they pray, and there's really nothing there, then there's no harm in that. Allahu a'lam.
My point is, sometimes I mean, if it's fast. Before the sunset, it happened one day. I was driving the top of the highway, and I saw the sun is not set yet. And I called the masjid where I'm going to, and I heard them making an adhan. I said, "You are going to pray?" They said, "Yes." I said, "The sun is not set." They said, "What over here? The sun is set over here." They answered me that one. But
yeah.
I see the truth.
You're in the same place with them, but you're just in a higher elevation.
I was coming.
Yeah, and if you're in a different place, that may be different. If you're in a different place.
No, it's the same area.
No, it depends on the eyebrows.
I was in the high top, and I see the sun clearly. It's not set.
Allahu Akbar.
The sun is set at the level of the sea.
Right.
If you're at high altitude,
it may not be set.
Yeah, it could be a difference. Allahu Akbar. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Ayyak.